Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to our House of Representatives call for the Republic for the United States of America. Today is Tuesday, March 5th, 2024. Can't believe that we're getting close to spring, but that's the way that it is. Tonight, we're going to have a recording of Dr. Mosley. He's a bit under the weather. He texted me earlier today asking to be excused. I said, no problem. I've got a recording already loaded up. So we'll go ahead and quickly open in prayer, and then I'll do roll, and then we'll jump in to his recording for tonight on the loss of life. So does somebody want to open us up in prayer tonight?
Mr. Representative Mark Binder, I'd be happy to do that.
All right, you have the floor.
Thank you. Father Yahweh, in the name of Yeshua, please hear our prayer. Thank you for all those who are standing for truth and are rebuking Babel across this land. United with your purpose, we are strong. Thank you for sending leaders among us to teach and to put current events into perspective for us that we may watch and warn others. Thank you for a strong military, chock full of patriots and veterans that would lay their lives down for American freedom. Watch over your republic, Father, and send help to us when we are in need. We pray for the release. We thank you for the release of James Timothy Turner, Father, where he's been a political prisoner for far too long. So, Father God, we ask that you bless his family, Father. We ask you bring your glory and your presence in our lives. We ask that you commission your angels to encamp round about us and go ahead of us and protect us, Heavenly Father, from all attacks, spiritual or physical, from the enemy, Father. We also ask, Father, that you give us provisions and wisdom that we need to carry out your plan to restore the God-given constitutional rule of law to your republic. Thank you, Father. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Yes. Yes, thank
Amen.
You. So, thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
So the roll real quick here, and then we'll get started. Representative Cox, are you with us tonight? Representative Reed.
Representative Reed from Nebraska is present. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir. Representative Binder.
Representative Mark Binder from Iowa is present. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. And Representative Rockwell is present tonight. And Representative Schmidt, are you with us?
Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin Free State is present.
All right. Thank you, sir. It looks like we've got four representatives representing four states tonight. And as I said, Dr. Mosley is not with us tonight. Hopefully he'll be back next time. But I have got a recording of him from, I guess it's been a couple of years ago, that I'll go ahead and play for tonight. And then we'll get on to the rest of our business. Here's Dr. Mosley.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. The laws of life. And I'm sure those who are on the call remember the definition that we have shared with you on many occasions with respect to how we define the law of life, which is an absolute divine rule that governs the consequences of our actions. Everything we do and everything that we say activates one or more laws of life, either in a positive or in a negative way. In order for us to refer to a law of life as being such, we must begin in the book of Genesis, tracing that law of life throughout the Old Testament into and throughout the New Testament before we can refer to it as a law of life. Oftentimes, hundreds of scriptures will come together in order to establish each of these laws of life. We endeavor, each time we come before you or before any group that we endeavor to teach, we always bring forth one or more foundational scriptures for the law of life that we are sharing. And tonight, we are going to speak or share from the law of brokenness. Not the concept, not the precept, not even the principle, but the law of brokenness. And I'm going to share with you several verses of Scripture that I perceive support this law as an absolute. Beginning with Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a, listen closely, of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. A broken heart and a contrite spirit. The law of brokenness. Let's look at another scripture in the book of Psalms, and Psalm 38, verse 8. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. I am feeble and sore broken. The law of brokenness. Another scripture we want to share with you, one of which I'm sure most of you are familiar, found in the 51st Psalm, beginning in verse 14 through verse 17. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall ring aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou desirest not in burnt offering. But this is the verse I want you to listen to closely. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Let's move over to the New Testament. Matthew 21:44. And whosoever shall fall on this stone, and we know the stone is Jesus, whosoever shall fall on this stone shall, and absolute, be broken. I'm going to repeat. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. The law. Of brokenness. I submit to you that this law works very closely with another law of life that we share, and that is the law of exaltation and abasement. I make this statement early on, and I have heard it confirmed by others in ministry, that we must be broken in order to be made whole. I'm going to repeat, we must be broken in order to be made whole. I heard a pastor not too long ago describe it this way. Got to break you in order to make you. I submit to you, based upon the Word of God dealing with the law of brokenness, in order to be fully used for God's intended purpose, you, hello, I, we must be broken. A few examples in the natural, and I don't know whether or not this is the case in this present day, but I recall when people would get a new automobile. First thing they would say concerning that automobile was that they had to break it in. Also, I heard this made mention of on many occasions concerning new machinery, that it had to be broken in order for it to function to its highest potential. I remember parents, and I probably am the oldest person on this call, but I recall parents when there was a habit that they discern in the life of one of their children. The statement would be that we've got to break him or her from that. The law of brokenness. Now, this law may not pertain to any on the call at this stage of your life. Maybe you've already gone through the brokenness of life through some way or another. But it may be a family member that you're concerned about, that you recognize that in order for that individual to be used in the way God would have him or her to be used, that they're going to have to be broken. It may be a son. It may be a daughter. It may be a grandchild. It may be other relatives. It may be extended family. It may be a friend or someone who is on your heart. But you perceive that they are going to have to go through a breaking experience. Most times we don't want to see, especially our loved ones, those close to us, have to go through the process of being broken. But only God knows what it will take for that person to be used to his or her fullest. Now, we are, when we recognize, when we discern that there is someone close to us that is going to have to go through a breaking experience, what should we do? First of all, we need to pray for mercy for that individual. But one admonishment I would give to each of us is that we are not to interfere with that breaking process. Because the tendency, of course, that each of us would have, if it's a son or a daughter or someone else going, or someone else close to you that is having to go through an experience of being broken, the first thought that we have is that we need to interfere some way or another to cause them not to have to fully go through the breaking process. But I say to you, this breaking process is necessary to break that person of pride, self-sufficiency, and anything else that is not God's best for them. I say to you, and I would suggest that you might want to search your recollection to determine whether there's anything that God has made that doesn't have a breaking point. God uses those things that we can see to help us to better understand those things that we cannot see. Breaking a brokenness is, I submit to you, it's a law of life. It's an absolute that applies to every individual, and especially those who are called to be of God. Jonah had to go through a breaking because of his disobedience. God told him to go to Nineveh, and he went the other way, and he had to be broken in order to submit to what God had called him to do. King David, and we read a portion of the 51st Psalm. We know what King David went through. We know the transgression that he committed. And we know the breaking that he had to go through. Is God a respecter of persons? Would God cause Jonah to go through a breaking? King David to go through a breaking? Samson to go through a breaking? The Apostle Paul and many other Bible characters to go through a breaking? And we are exempt from the process of having to be broken. Another example that I missed earlier was that of a wild horse. I, in growing up, enjoyed watching Western movies. And you would see a wild horse that was a beautiful specimen of an animal. And every time someone would try to ride the horse would buck that individual off and onto the ground. And until that horse was broken, that horse was of no use, a worthwhile use to anyone. It's the same with us. Unfortunately, we have to be broken in order to be used of God. Now, for some, in order for them to be broken, unfortunately, they have to go through family problems. Sometimes it's that process. Problems with children, and a separation or divorce or an addiction that has attached itself to a family member. And sometimes it takes that kind of experience to break that person and cause that person to submit to what God has called that person to do. Now, keep in mind, I'm not at all suggesting that God brings calamities on people. I am suggesting, however, that oftentimes God has to remove his hand of protection in order for that person to go through the process that is necessary for the breaking. In some other instances, it's a sickness. Someone who has been healthy all of their lives, and all of a sudden they find themselves bedridden and cannot do anything other than to look up. Sometimes it takes that sickness to break that person and cause that person to submit to what God has called them to do. Sometimes it takes even an embarrassment. I remember a few occasions where individuals who had been highly recognized and they were called up front on the podium and they were introducing their family members and they forgot the name of their spouse or one of their children. Embarrassment. Sometimes that brings about a humility and a breaking in a person's life. Here's another one. Trouble. Trouble, in many instances, is used to bring about a breaking in an individual's life. A person who has been a law-abiding citizen all of his or her life, and now they find themselves facing a prison sentence. And maybe it's that prison experience that brought about the breaking that was necessary in that person's life in order for that person to be used of God. There are some individuals, a breakdown of their physical appearance. Some male who has been robust and handsome all of his life, a lady who has been beautiful and received accolades everywhere they went concerning their appearance, and all of a sudden, something came about that caused a breakdown in their physical appearance. A physical appearance that they all but worshiped. And now people look at them with disdain. There are instances where this has brought an individual to his or her knees, and it brought about the breaking that was necessary maybe to bring them to our Lord and Savior, or to cause them to be used in the way that God would have them to be used as a believer. Some lives that breaking comes as a result of a financial collapse, a bankruptcy, a foreclosure, even an eviction, brought about the breaking point in that person's life where they knew they had no other way to look but to God. Sometimes it's the death of someone very close to you, a parent, sibling, a child, or even a spouse. But breaking is not confined to an individual. I submit to you that it extends to every component of life, even to a group of people and also to a nation. I submit this question. Can and is a pandemic being used of God to break a nation? In particular, the United States of America. Let's look at Jeremiah, the 19th chapter. And with your permission, I am going to do a little reading. Jeremiah, 19th chapter. Thus saith the Lord, in speaking to the prophet Jeremiah, go and get a potter's earthen bottle and take of the ancients of the people and of the ancients of the priests, and go forth unto the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the east gate, and proclaim there the words that I shall tell thee. God speaking to the prophet, giving him some words that he is to speak to the children of Israel, to the Jewish people. Verse 3, and say, hear ye the word of the Lord, O king of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring evil upon this place, the which whosoever heareth, his ears shall tingle. Because they have forsaken me, and have estranged this place, and have burned incense in it unto other gods, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah, and have filled this place with the blood of innocents. They have built also the high places of Baal, to burn their sons with fire of burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not, nor spake it, neither came it into my mind. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that this place shall no longer be called Topheth, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. And I will make void the council of Judah and Jerusalem in this place, and I will cause them to fall by the sword before their enemies and by the hands of them that seek their lives, and their carcasses will I give to be meat for the fowls of the heaven and for the beasts of the earth. And I will make this city desolate, and in hissing, everyone that passes thereby shall be astonished and hissed because of all the plagues thereof. And I will cause them to eat the flesh of their sons and the flesh of their daughters, and they shall eat every one flesh of his friend in siege and straitness wherewith their enemies and they that seek their lives shall straiten them. This is the verse I want to get to. Then, God talking to the prophet, then shalt thou break the bottle in the sight of the men that go with thee, and shall say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, even so will I break this people and this city as one breaketh a potter's vessel that cannot be made whole again, and they shall bury them to Tebeth till there be no place to bury. I'm about to the end of this chapter. Thus will I do unto this place, saith the Lord, and to the inhabitants thereof, and even make this city as Topheth, and the houses of Jerusalem and the houses of the kings of Judah shall be defiled as the place of Topheth, because of all the houses upon whose roofs they have burned incense unto all the hosts of heaven and have poured out drink offerings unto other gods. Then came Jeremiah from Topheth, whither the Lord had sent him to prophesy. And he stood in the court of the Lord's house and said to all the people, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon this city and upon all of her towns all the evil that I have pronounced against it, because they have hardened their necks, they might not hear my words. The law of brokenness, it applies, it can apply to every component of life. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I can, and perhaps some of you, I can relate to the breaking process. And I mentioned early in this series that before I can teach each of these laws of life, I've had to have lived on both sides of each of these laws of life before the Spirit of God will allow me to share it. So I've experienced the law of brokenness, and perhaps some of you also. But it is a law of life. It is an absolute. We must be broken in order to be made whole. The law of brokenness. And I recognize that this is somewhat a somber thought to end a series on, but one I perceive as apropos for the times that we're in. But also I just want to touch upon the foundational scripture for another law of life that I had intended to share this evening. But what I'm going to do is just give you the scriptures that support the foundation for this law of life. And it's a body of scripture that I'm certain that everyone who is on the call is familiar. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The law, not the concept, not the precept, not the principle, but the law of love. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love boasteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. This is the verse I want to get to. Love never fails. That is an absolute. And we can apply love to any given situation, and by faith accept the fact that it is an absolute and that it will not fail. With that, Mr. Speaker, I yield.
Well, thank you, Dr. Mosley, for that. Anybody have any comments of the teaching that he brought to us tonight?
Mr. Representative Mark Miner, may I have the floor?
Yes, you have the floor.
I think Dr. Mosley did a very good teaching here. I'm glad to be able to hear it again. And I think that maybe the law of brokenness and the law of love can go hand in hand with our Father. And I yield with that. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir. Anybody else? All right, if not, I spoke with Representative Binder before the call, and he said he had something that he wanted to bring to our attention. So, sir, you go ahead and bring what you mentioned before the call tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's been brought to my attention that it would probably be a good idea if we start looking to the future a bit, and what I mean by that is we can use any of the laws that the Republic has enacted in the first Congress, and we can use any of the laws up to 1861. They're considered to be de jure laws, so we can use those. But there are some situations that we're experiencing today that the Founding Fathers maybe didn't think of, and they're not really covered in what we already have. And what I'm talking about, there'll be a couple things. One of them would be, I mentioned earlier, last August, I believe, was the transportation industry. They weren't using that much back in the Founding Fathers, and the possibility of people being injured and hurt. There's no real law on the book to hold the transportation industry accountable. And, you know, that's something to look for in the future. One thing, of course, could be that in a common law court, you when you injure somebody, when there's an injured party, then there's definitely going to be a court case. There could be a court case on that. So I don't think we have to worry too much about that. But another thing that was brought up just recently would be all the illegals that are coming in. And they're coming in not necessarily to become American citizens or to be part of the Republic. They may be coming in to be taking people's land, and that falls under the description of squatters. And I just want to read you a couple definitions from the Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary. A squatter, this is the second definition, says, in the United States, one that settles on new land without a title is considered a squatter. And the third definition, the word squat in the 1828 Webster's Dictionary is as follows. In Massachusetts and some other states of America, to settle on another's land without pretense of title, a practice very common in the wilderness. So what the judiciary basically is saying is there are no laws on the books to deal with squatters, because it's felt that they're going to come in and they're going to want to take over your land. They're going to want to take over your house or your living quarters or something like that. And they're saying that they can't try anybody for doing that without having legislation enacted to be able to address those situations. And since we don't have a quorum to do business, we can research and we can get something written down, a report, if you will, so that when we do get a quorum, we can maybe address some of these issues in the future that we're going to have to address sooner or later, and maybe it'd be better to be prepared, is all I'm saying. Now, I went ahead and did a little bit of research here on that, and one of the things that can be used in part, not necessarily on an individual squatter, but on, say, like a group of squatters, is the Monroe Doctrine. And we can use the one that because it was read in Congress in December 2nd of 1823. So that's before 1861, and we can use that. But basically, what the Monroe Doctrine is to keep other European nations from colonizing any part of America, North America, South America, anywhere like that. It was made by Monroe. It was written by somebody else, though. I didn't write that down. But anyway, It was there to keep them from making colonies or, you know, civilizations or cities, if you will. We already have some cities that are not by Americans here, so we could use that for that part. Also, if there's a military presence of another nation, we can also use the Monroe Doctrine for that as well. And a little history on the Monroe Doctrine, if you're not familiar with it, is it was, of course, read into Congress in 1823, and it was invoked in 1865 when the U.S. government exerted diplomatic and military pressure in support of the Mexican president, Benito Juarez. So it was used then, it was used 40 years later in 1904, but it was also modified by Theodore Roosevelt, so we can't use the modification. But basically, this kind of addresses squatters, and we also have other things, too, that partially address it. And some of the Republic legislation that was enacted in the first Congress is, I've looked it over, and the Equal Footing Act kind of applies to some of it, and the act to create the Bureau of Acquisitions also applies some of it, as in land acquisition, as in having a legal title to have land, or should I say a lawful title? Sorry. I'll slip the tongue there. And another one would be the American Security Act, and that's, of course, when the Rangers are enacted, and they have about, let's see, they've got 14 purposes for the Rangers, and there's a couple of them that speak to protecting people, and that would be Section 5, and I'll just read it. It says, and be it further enacted, the primary responsibility of the American Rangers is to protect the properties of we the people and their unalienable rights, God-given rights. And also Section 7, and be it further enacted, the American Rangers shall also provide security and protection for the President of the Republic, cabinet members, and members of Congress. And it goes on and on. You can read it if you want. It's all on the Republic website under the legislation tab. But it's my feeling that it'd probably be a good idea to get back into doing some of this and putting together possible legislation like we did in the Internet Bill of Rights. And so that's what I have brought before you. I'll continue doing research on this, and anyone who would like to work with me, I'll definitely get with them, and we can take this bull by the horns, so to speak, and maybe get a little more prepared. And so I'll yield for any comments or criticisms or anybody who wants to help out. Thank you for your time.
This is Representative David Schmidt requesting the floor, please.
Yes, you have the floor.
Otherwise, another area that there we also need to get some laws in place. You know, I don't know what we had back before 1860, but to deal with child trafficking and pedophiles, and plus that, and also other forms of sexual exploitation of children. You know, distributing. You know, pushing the transgender agenda and grooming children for trafficking and distributing sexually explicit and pornographic materials to children under 18 in the schools and the libraries. And we do have a part in the United States Gold Current. It'd be Title 18, it'd be Chapter 110, and it'd be sexual exploitation and other abuse of children. And I think it's like 2251 to 2260A, I think is what the code sections are. We could probably go through that, and I think that would be well worth using for that there, but that's something that we need to be addressing, because it is a huge problem in this country, and especially since Biden took over. And with that, I yield the floor.
Thank you. Anybody else?
This is Representative Mark Feiner. May I have the floor?
Yes, you have the floor.
Thank you. Yeah, I agree. We definitely need to take a look at the future and the laws that we have that we can use and the laws that we need to work on, enact, understand, you know, all the everything that we have that we can use. And thank you for your input, Representative Schmidt. And I yield the floor.
Yep, yep, you're welcome.
Anybody else? Well, what I'm going to do is make a suggestion to both of you or anybody else that is on the call that dives into this to go ahead and draw something up preliminary-wise and send it to me, you know, at the house. Let me get the correct email here real quick, if I can find it. It would be over here. And that way I can give it to you right there. Is just draw something up preliminary-wise to where we can, you know, you can send it to me and we can take a look at it. Send it to house.admin@therepublicoftheunitedstates.org. And once I get that, I'll review it and we can over that on you know, a call in the future. I think these are important things, and if we just get some bones together as far as what needs to be said, it doesn't need to be finalized or anything like that. It can be used and added to as we go along, but I think these are both good suggestions. So if you want to do that and everybody else, like I said, on the call wants to draw something up, we definitely can, you know, look at it, and we can all come into a place to where we can discuss it and see what we need to do to move it forward. So that would be my suggestion, and I'll go ahead and yield with that with anybody else that has any other comments.
This is Representative Mark Benham. May I have the floor?
Yes, you have the
Thank
floor.
Thank you. I think that would be a good way to do that. I was thinking that, you know, I would just do research and put what I found in a report, so whenever the time comes and we need to enact legislation, we don't start at square one. We got it researched, and you know, we can argue about the wording of whatever legislation gets enacted later, as long as we have the foundation of what we need, then that'd be good for me. I yield. Thank you.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. That's why I said kind of have some bones, you know, to build on. And, you know, we can always set it aside until we get more people to, you know, dive in and adjust it and, you know, reframe it and rework it and work with the wording, et cetera. I think it's a good place to start doing the research like what you're doing. But, you know, putting it into a document form to where we all can look at it. I can send it out email-wise to everybody. We can all look at it together once we get some preliminary stuff taken care of. That is exactly what I was thinking. Anybody else? All right, anybody have any closing comments for tonight? All right.
Mark Binder, may I have the floor for a moment?
Yes, you have the floor, sir.
Thank you. I just wanted to let Congress know that last Saturday I was at a gun show reporting, talking about the Republic, promoting the Republic. And from the last time that I was in a patriotic group, and was it be like 2008, 2009, and same situation, a gun show trying to promote a group called Super Liberty. And there were hardly anybody that came over to talk to me then or even took notice. But at the gun show last Saturday, I had several people come over. And I had all three of the Republic books set out on the table so they could read the titles and everything, and a bumper sticker, and the James Timothy Turner book, and I also had the 1559 Geneva Bible sitting there, and it got a lot of attention from those that were looking for something like the Republic. I guess is the best way to say it. So I talked to a bunch of people, and it was very uplifting. And of course, they were at all levels. Some of them were very intelligent about the corporation and the fact they didn't want it, and others were just, you know, learning. Everybody's at a different level. And it was pretty uplifting to do that for a while there. I handed out business cards with Republic address on it and everything. And also a couple of the James Timothy Turner books, because I had gotten some. Anyway, I guess what I'm trying to say is people are waking up, and it's a good thing. And everybody that I asked, you know, if they made eye contact or if they looked at the books for like 3 seconds, I started talking to them. Otherwise, I just left them alone. But if nothing else, they were reading Re-Inhabited Republic on the book titles and know that there's something there, so they can't say I've never heard about them. All they could say is, I heard about them, but I never researched it, to be if they're going to be truthful themselves. So anyway, it's looking up, and I guess that's all I have right now, and I yield. Thank you so much for hearing me.
All right, thank you. Did you actually have a table at the show?
Yeah, I split a table with one of my friends. He was selling some of the stuff that he didn't want at the gun show, and I just had the corner, and I had a pretty good traffic pattern. And it was there were a lot of people there. So it was pretty encouraging. Pretty encouraging.
Cool. Anybody else?
There's Representative David Schmidt requesting the floor, please.
Yes, you have the floor.
Yeah, just I don't know if everybody is aware of it, but Gina David Hertler's new book, God's Solution for America and the Nations of the World, is out. I had they sent me a copy of it, so I've read it, and it is very good. So, you know, you can re-inhabit a republic, or you can contact Gene Hertler to order a copy. And I just thought I'd let everybody know that it is available for sale, for to read, you know. And I had taken it Sunday morning. I brought it and showed it to a church minister and showed him different parts of the book. You know, he's got, you know, like Nathaniel Whitaker's sermon, got, you know, some of the colonial times that there, and Charles Finney, you know, the Second Great Revival, you know, Great Awakening, and, you know, a few other areas that there, and showed him some of that, and he was like, wow. And, without a yield.
All right. Thank you, sir. I'm waiting for my copy to get to me so I can check it out as well. So anybody else have any closing comments?
This is Doug Reed from Nebraska. May I have the floor?
Yes, you have the floor.
Okay. Tying this all together, especially with trafficking, there is a website called Stop World Control, David Sorensen. Very, very comprehensive in Newfoundland. There is a profound, a very comprehensive movement pushing people, pedophiles, and trying to make it a mainstream movement. It's very dangerous and very comprehensive. I think he invites people, come on, join in fighting this. And so he has already signed over, come on, join us. And that would be a good place to hook up with. There I yield.
All right. Thank you, sir. Yeah, I've heard of him before as well. Haven't looked at too much of his material, but it is something definitely to look at for sure.
Yes.
Anybody else?
Yes.
All right, if not, I would definitely entertain a motion for us to adjourn tonight, if somebody would like to do that.
Now, this is Representative David Schmidt making the motion to adjourn until Tuesday, March 19th at 8 p.m. Central. With that, I yield.
Second.
All right, we've got a motion on the floor to adjourn tonight, and it's been seconded. All in favor, say aye.
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 And is there anybody opposed? All right, we'll go ahead and stand adjourned for tonight. And before we go our separate ways, Representative Schmidt, you want to close us in prayer?
Sure, I'd be honored to. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for a good meeting tonight. Lots of good information, lots of things being shared. And also look forward to building your republic the right way. And we pray for head to protection around each and every one of us on this call. And head to protection of all officers that are, and members of the republic. And we also pray for Javier Milei of Argentina, Viktor Orban of Hungary, and Geert Wilders of the Netherlands, that they also join forces with your republic. And give you thanks in your son, Yahushua HaMashiach. Amen.
Yes, amen. That'd be so. All right. Thanks, everybody, for being here, and we'll catch you in a couple weeks.
Amen.
Yep. Good night, everybody.
Hey, everybody. Be blessed.